Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Okay, we've got a basic lesson today. I think you'll all enjoy it. You know, work has always been a fundamental part of mankind's existence. Even before sin entered the picture in Eden, God gave Adam a job. It says in Genesis 2, then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And then after sin became the reason for Adam and Eve's eviction, God gave Adam another job. It says in Genesis 3, then to Adam he said, because you've heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. And we can take this lesson back to our Creator himself. For it is recorded in Genesis 2:2, and on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Thus there is a distinction we need to put forth between God's work and mankind's. At his most basic level, man works because he or she lacks. There's a void, if you would, in man's lust, that is, his desire, craves to fill it. God, on the other hand, has no void. Nothing is lacking. He's perfect, complete, holy. So he works for an entirely different reason. Now, interestingly, he took a day of rest from his work, but of course, because he is almighty, he didn't need the rest. So clearly, it's a picture for us, a message. Now, what's the message? The one thing the religious elite were always uptight about with Jesus was his working on the day of rest, the Sabbath. For example, from John 5, says, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well, and for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Was Jesus being rebellious against the very law that he, as in the great I Am, gave to Moses? Ha! No, not at all. He was illustrating the fundamental truth of his answer, that is, my Father has been working until now, along with the fundamental reason for this truth. It was Jesus who made him well. Let's review this before we move on. Again, man works or does anything because he lacks and lusts to fill his void, and he rests because he tires. God works, that is, he does good, just as in the creation, because he is love, and his rest is a picture of the agent of his love, Jesus, through whom and in whom we must approach God. Hebrews 4 puts it this way, for we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God, that is, the Jews. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. That's Hebrews chapter 4. Moving on, this is not a lesson on taking a day off. Let me explain. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus gave a huge lesson on works. It begins with John the Baptist inquiring about not his words, but his works. Matthew 11 says, "And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me.'" You see, Christ's works weren't the works John expected. They didn't line up with what he'd preached. But Jesus wasn't perturbed. In fact, gave John a really sincere attaboy. He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven, that is, born again, is greater than he." But then he admonished the people listening, saying that they were like children in a marketplace playing insincere games. Matthew 11, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by her children," it says. Note, however, that last word, children, should have been translated works. So, it should read, "But wisdom is justified by her works." After this, he tied into the three places where he had done mighty works. He said, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." It's from Matthew 11. He was leading up to a majestic truth that only those in the kingdom of heaven could understand. These people, sadly including John the Baptist, were focused on the miracles, the visible works, but they were missing the real work of God, the eternal work. And so Jesus finished with this, again from Matthew 11. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, he directed their attention to something greater. This is by far the greatest work. Why are these people, all people, heavy laden? What burdens are they bearing? Jesus likened them to oxen. King David spoke of this burden. He said in Psalms 38:4, "For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." Our iniquities were too heavy for us to bear as well. But Christ did the heavy lifting for all of us. "Surely," it says, "he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, this eternal work, that's the seventh day. This is the true rest, the true Sabbath. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." This eternal work of Jesus Christ is the real rest for our souls and the reason for our contentment. Hallelujah. Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.